recount your experience seeing Jelly Roll Morton in Washington?
Jelly Roll Morton, in I guess it was the late 30s, bought an interest in a club called the Jungle Inn. And the Jungle Inn was right down the street from the Lincoln Theater. And there were three. Washington was the capital of the United States, but it was a very segregated town. So anybody, Duke Ellington or Teddy Wilson, any person of color that came and performed in D.C. or they may have been world famous as Ellington was, but they were relegated to staying with someone or in the black community in some way. And so everybody there had access to the Ellington Band and the Basie Band and the Lunsford Band and their members and Lester Young and all of the Coleman Hawkins, all the famous people. So when Jelly Roll Morton moved to D.C., it wasn't a big deal. I mean, there was nowhere else for him to go. You know, so he bought an interest in this club, and he was just there. I knew who he was. I'd heard his name and seen records by him in record shop. There was a place called Waxy Maxie's that was right down the street from my father's dental office, and the guy that owned the shop was very nice to me. I mean, he was a friend of my father's, and he would let me come in. And now that I think about it, I must have ruined some records that he wanted to sell, you know. But he let me play Nat Cole records and Teddy Wilson records. And I never bought them. I didn't have any money. So, but I'd play them, and I'd listen to them. And it was great. I got to listen to a lot of great music. But Jelly Roll Morton is someone who was playing, even in those days, was playing a style that I thought was corny. It was an old style, and as a young teenager, I figured I want to be as hip and as modern as I can. So, you know, let me try to play like Teddy Wilson and Art Tatum, because that's, you know, that's what's happening, and for me. And I mean, even Earl Hines, as much as I admired him, was not quite up to, in my view, in those days, up to what Teddy Wilson and those guys were doing, because I didn't know enough about music to realize what a pioneer Earl was, and how much he had gotten from Jelly Roll Morton. So, I ran into Johnny Malachi one day on U Street, and he said, "What are you doing this evening?" So I said, "Well, nothing really." He said, "Well, we're all going over to hear Jelly Roll Morton. He's right over here at the Jungle Inn." I said, "Man, Jelly Roll Morton. I mean, why don't I come over to your house and we'll try to take some stuff off records, man? That's, you know, that's a lot hipper than that." You know, he said, "No, this guy is you know, the style is old fashioned, but you know, he's supposed to be one of the greats." So reluctantly, I said, "Yeah, okay," because Johnny was a guy, as I said, he's a couple of years older than I am, and I really respected him, and you know, he was already doing some of the things that I wanted to do. He had his own little band, and you know, he was doing a lot of professional playing at that time. And so I said, "Well, yeah, okay." So I decided that I would go to, I'm trying to think of the other pianists, there's about three or four of us. One of them was his brother-in-law, Rob Hawley. And I can't remember who the other two guys were. About three... Yeah, about four or five of us. Anyway, we went in and we took a table close to the piano, and General, one of his partners, pointed out to him, wasn't a crowd, it was just a few people there. He pointed out, he said, "You got a whole table of full of piano players." It was a tiny room. You could hear what people were saying. I mean, you know, it's a, so he told him, he said, "You got a whole table full of piano players there." Jelly Roll Morton kind of sneered over at us and said, "Ain't nothing but kids. You kid, piano players." So he sauntered over to the piano when he got ready to play and sneered at us and said in so many words, and well, said right out, "You can't play this. And, you know, you're supposed to be piano players. You can't play this." And he sat down, and we couldn't. I mean, this guy, he was playing, and the first thing I noticed was that he sounded like the whole New Orleans band. I mean, I could hear the clarinet line and the trombone line in the left hand and all of this. I said, "Wait a minute, you know." I mean, now physically, I could not do this. And he plus he was playing in some keys like E and A. And for me to play jazz in those keys was difficult. And I hadn't mastered the 12 keys, and so you know, I could play in E flat and maybe D flat or, you know, some hard keys, but not all of them, you know. And so this guy is just all over the keyboard playing all of these things and just tossing it away. I mean, he'd play a little of this and he'd play that, and he, you know, he could see the consternation on my face if no one else's. I don't know about anybody. I'm looking at this guy saying, "What?" And so he kind of played, you know, he said, I mean, he really showed off then. I mean, he really did playing these octaves and playing everything. Man, I went home and practiced like I had such mixed emotions about this. Here's a style that I knew was old, a style that I knew was dated, and here's something that I can't even do that on the piano. And I'm trying to do what Tatum and these folks are doing. I, you know, really got a lot of work to do. So I really began to practice very seriously. I didn't go back. I must confess, I didn't go back and try to learn the Jelly Roll Morton things at that point, but it made me work harder on the things that were coming, the things that the Teddy Wilson and the things that I was sort of trying to master at that point. So because he was really an inspiration. I mean, he didn't mean to be, but he really was an inspiration.